Wanna thank you, Jesus gave me the victory. Oh, I love him, I love him, I really love the Lord. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures unto all generations. The poet said, truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne, yet that scaffold sways the future. Behind the dim unknown, God standeth within the shadows, keeping watch above his own. And then the wise man of antiquity said, buy the truth and sell it not. Then the wisest man of all said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. We want to thank these great brethren for their participation in the devotional service. I want to thank Brother Jeremy Gray for an excellent invocation this morning, calling us to attentiveness. I want to thank Brother Sam White, a man of multiple talents, for leading us in these psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I want to thank Brother Marcus West for a tremendous reading of the Word of God. I want to thank Brother Ronald Taylor for an amazing prayer prayed on our behalf this morning. Amen. It's certainly good this morning to see our dear sister Anissa back after her surgery, and we're certainly happy to see her and that she's doing well this morning. And we want to give a shout out and a congratulation to Brother Earl and Marilyn Allen for 46 years. Yeah. And if you want to know, Brother Earl gave me the secret this morning. He said, if you want to know the secret to longevity, it's only two words. Okay. I said, you should have told me that 5 years ago. Praise be unto God. So we certainly congratulate Brother Earl and Sister Marilyn. They are just great people, and we appreciate them so very, very much this morning. If you have your personal copy, world's bestseller, I want to call your attention to the book of James. The Lord has led me the last few weeks to preach from this book, a marvelous book. Amen. A lot of great truths are found in this tremendous epistle of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to call your attention to the fourth chapter of the book of James, and I want to read, have you to read after me, the first four verses of the fourth chapter, James chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. If you have that, say amen. I'm going to ask you to be in prayer for us on next week as we'll be traveling out of town to do a gospel meeting in Greenville, Alabama. I guess I must have done all right last year. I got an invitation to come back. So we're thankful for that. And we're asking the Lord to give us the strength and the health and the endurance to do the job that needs to be done, because somebody needs to say a word for the Lord in these difficult and confusing times. Somebody needs to speak up for the Lord. Amen. If you have that text, say amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you to read this text after me, beginning with verse number 1. From whence come wars? and fightings among you. Come they not hence, even of your lusts, that war in your members? You lust, have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Verse 4 again. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I want to thank the people of God for reading the word of God in the house of God. I want you to announce this subject after me this morning. Why can't we all get along? Why can't we all get along? Can we say it one more time? Why can't we all get along? Several years ago, in Los Angeles, California, there was a man by the name of Rodney King. He had an encounter with the LAPD, the Los Angeles Police Department. And they beat up Rodney King. They beat Rodney King down. They brutalized Rodney King. And there was an eruption in the city of Los Angeles. And in the midst of the storm that was swirling about, Rodney King was the man at the center of the storm. And he raised the question, why can't we all get along? Well, the book of James answers the question why people have such a hard time getting along. Doesn't leave us guessing about why, but James keeps it real. Someone said he is a nut and bolt type preacher. He's the one that told us that the tongue is a fire and that no man can tame it. He's the one that told us a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. He's the one that told us that looking into God's word is like looking into a mirror. And he's the one that tells us why we can't get along. Even though this world today may not want the word of God, this world needs the word of God. David said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word of God is like a seed that germinates. Word of God is like a sword that penetrates. Word of God is like a light that illuminates. Word of God is like a hammer that obliterates. Word of God is like bread that invigorates. The word of God is like water that stimulates, because the word of God never comes back to him void. As the rain and the snow cometh down from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, that it may bud and sprout, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. God says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. In other words, brothers and sisters, the word of God will do what it do. It will do what it's designed to do. In fact, it'll build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. If you're weak, it'll strengthen you. If you're lost, it'll save you. I tell you, it's in a class all by itself. Somebody said, read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. Practice it to be holy. It's in a class all by itself. Now, in this message this morning, there are two things I want you to see, my dear brothers and sisters. And number one is why people fight and argue. Why people fight and argue. And number two, I want to talk about there will not be any peace without the Prince of Peace. Amen. There will not be any peace without the Prince of Peace. Some of the greatest questions in life are found in the Bible. But not only are the questions found, the answers are in the Bible. Sometimes they say you live life, and when you think you found the answer to the question, then life changes the questions. When you think you got things figured out, then life figures you out. Amen. You make your plans, and as the old saying goes, sometimes the best laid plans of mice and men sometime go awry. Whatever plans we make, we ought to sanctify those plans with prayer. And always say, if the Lord wills, I'll do this. If the Lord's will, I'll do that. Is that all right? Well, some of the greatest questions beginning in the Bible was, in the beginning, God said, Adam, where art thou? That's still a good question to ask yourself this morning. Where am I in my life in terms of my goals? Where am I in my life in terms of my objectives? Where art thou? Another question was, Job raised the question, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. And then Jesus Christ went down to Bethany and spoke back across the centuries and said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So the answer is yes. If a man die, he will live again. Abraham asked the question. He said, Lord, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? And the answer is no. God will not destroy the righteous with the wicked. The Lord knows how to deliver the righteous out of temptation. Is that all right? Another important question was, Pharaoh asked, who is the Lord? Who is God that I should obey him? That's the question we ought to be asking. Who is the Lord and why should I obey his voice? Because he's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's a sustainer of. You couldn't get up this morning if God didn't have a hand in it. You couldn't wake up unless God had something to do with it. Is that all right? And so who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? And I should obey his voice. It's in my best interest to obey the voice of the Lord. And then when I come to the New Testament on the day of Pentecost, after some convicted hearers heard the first gospel sermon, they asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? That's still a great question. A man was very blessed, Brother West. God blessed his fields to produce abundantly. And he raised the question, what shall I do? When you get a raise on your job, what shall I do? Hello? When you get a promotion, what shall I do? These are great questions, aren't they? What shall I do? Then down in Philippi, God rocked a jail. And you thought Elvis Presley was the first one who did Jailhouse Rock. God rocked a jail. Is that all right? All the doors were open and the bands were set free. And that jailer sprung in with a light and said, "What shall I do to be saved?" These are great questions. And then in this text today, are you still at James? In this question today, in our textual consideration, there's a question. And that question is, from whence comes wars and fightings among you? As Rodney King said, why can't we get along? Or another song, why can't we be friends? Amen. I'm working on a sermon entitled, Can We Be Friends If We Talk About Religion? Because some of us can't be friends, Lord have mercy, if we talk about religion. Well, James doesn't leave us in the dark on this thing, Angie. James isn't guessing about why people don't get along or why we can't get along. James gives us the diagnosis. The diagnosis is a description of a disorder or an illness. It's to figure out what's going on. And sometime in the diagnosis, there's a physical examination given. There are medical tests are run and other procedures. When you do a diagnosis, you're trying to figure out what's the problem and what's causing the problem. Well, James isn't guessing. James doesn't have to give us a physical examination. James doesn't have to run medical tests. James doesn't have to use other procedures, because James is speaking for a God who's all wise. James is speaking for a God who has never been wrong and never made a mistake. James is speaking for a God who looks on people's heart. He looks inside of people. God knows what's wrong with me. God knows how to fix me. And so the question is, why do people fight and argue? Amen. Why do whites in some instances not get along with the blacks? And why do blacks in some instances don't get along with other blacks? Amen. What causes fighting and arguments among people? Well, look at it. He says, come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? James says that people can't get along because of desires, conflicting desires that are within them. You want to know why we can't get along a lot of times? Because we got a civil war going on the inside. We got desires competing with one another. This is why we have a hard time getting along. Because we have desires stirring and moving within us. We have difficulty trying to understand why we always fussing and fighting and arguing. Here's why: because there's a war going on within us. Now, in this text, there are two possible views. There is the idea of predatory wars. Why do nations start wars with other nations? A lot of time they start war because One nation has what they want. And they take it by force. You do know people sometimes take stuff by force, don't you? Amen. These were some of the wars the Jews, in the name of religion, started. Fightings, all the wars and the fightings that's going on today, he says, because of conflicting desires. That war within. You know, in a sense, everybody represents two people. Robert Louis Stevenson wrote a script called Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Y'all know about Dr. Jekyll? Well, Dr. Jekyll was an outstanding doctor. He was upstanding. He was religious. He was philanthropic. But also, he had a dark side called Mr. Hyde. And he thought, Jimmy, that Dr. Jekyll could control Mr. Hyde. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we have Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde in us. Oh, somebody ought to help me here. Well, he thought he could control Mr. Hyde because Mr. Hyde was the dark side. But Mr. Hyde got control. And I'm telling you this morning that the dark side wants you to take a walk on the wild side. Amen. But Mr. Hyde got control. And then just before Dr. Jekyll, who was one person, had a reputation, who was one person, but he had a dark side. And just before he was exposed and was arrested, Dr. Jekyll committed suicide. Because within him, he had competing desires. Why can't we all get along? Why do I have such a hard time trying to live for Jesus? Because on one hand, a part of me want to say, yes, Lord. My soul says yes. And another side say, if you can't be with the one you, If you can't be with the one you, then that's what I thought. Amen. Y'all a little scared to say it, but come on. Come on, talk to me this morning. Is that all right? And so self can get you in trouble. That's why the Bible says, if any man come after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We got a lot of words that are, Sister Sperling, that are compounded and hyphenated with self. We talk about self-applause. We talk about self-advertisement. We talk about self-esteem. We talk about self-gratification. We talk about self-interest. We talk about self-indulgence. We talk about self-assertion. We talk about self-respect. A lot of words that we compound with self, because self can create some problems. Is that all right, church? So, whence comes the fight? And look at verse 2. He says, well, he also talks about why we don't get what we want. Amen. I told you, James keeps it real. He said, you desire and have not. You kill and desire to have. That is envy. Somebody put it this way. When you are green with envy, you are ripe for trouble. Hello? Envy can cause us to want to hurt or see somebody hurt. You ever just, somebody you didn't like something bad happened to you, say, yeah, that's what they get, should have happened to them. You ever been there, done that? Come on, y'all. Amen. You desire and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. The thing you want the most, it keeps slipping away. I was looking at, Brother Earl, I was looking at the tennis match on yesterday, Serena. Trying to get 22 and tie Steffi Graf in the last two Grand Slam final, she done got whooped up. And sometimes the thing you want the most, you reaching for it, you're trying to get it, and it's beyond your reach. The thing you want sometimes keeps slipping away. So you have, you desire, you kill, desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war. And then he say, here's another reason we don't have. Listen, we don't have because we don't ask for it. We don't really have a prayer life and just tell the Lord what you want. One day the Son of God was moving through Jericho. Brother Spark, there was a crowd assembled along the way, and there was a beggar sitting by the roadside named Blind Bartimaeus. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus Christ was coming through, he cried out, Jesus, oh Jesus, thy Son of David, have mercy on me. And the Lord stopped and said to him, what is it that you want me to do for you? I want to ask you this morning, Bush Hill, what is it this morning you really want the Lord to do for you? Ain't that a good question? What is it at the top of your wish list that you want the Lord to do for you? The Bible says, make known your requests. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, we don't have because we don't ask. You got to ask. When my kids were small, they had to figure out a way how to get stuff done. So they get the youngest one, you go in there and ask him. If you ask him, he'll do it. Praise God. You got to figure out how you're going to ask. He said, you have not. A lot of things perhaps we don't have right now because we were afraid to ask the Lord. Let's come on, be real. Sometimes we got to admit, sometimes I don't ask God for stuff because I'm afraid to ask him. Come on, somebody. He said, you have not because you ask not. Amen. And the Bible says we as Christians ought to make known our requests. In fact, we as Christians ought to come boldly with confidence into the presence of the Lord to ask him. Because I tell you this morning, church, I need some help this morning. Can anybody say amen to that? I need some help this morning. And I'm asking the Lord to help me. And not only am I talking about in a general way, I'm talking about I'm asking him for things specifically that I need. Lord, I can't do this by myself. I need you to help me, Lord, along this journey. And then he said, you fight and you won't. Amen. And you don't ask. And as a result of not asking, you don't get it. I want to encourage you this morning to really write down what you really want the Lord to do and ask him. And then here's the second thing. He said, another reason you don't have is because you ask from wrong motives. One reason you don't have, you don't ask. A second reason, I have to look at myself. Maybe some things I didn't get, I didn't ask for. Amen. You got to make, when he cried out the bottom of the well, what do you want? He told him what he wanted. What do you want? When you go in the store, they say, may I help you? You don't say, I don't know what I want. You don't say that. You specifically let them know. And then he said, a second reason we don't have is because we ask for the wrong motives. Amen. To consume it upon our desires. I mean, if you ask the Lord for $1 million, are you asking for it for the right reason? If you ask the Lord to give you a beautiful wife, Lord, make her hair black like raven feathers. Lord, make her teeth white as pearls. Lord, give her the shape of a Coca-Cola bottle. Lord, make her fine. Oh, you specifying, amen? And you, my dear sister, if you ask the Lord, give me one that's tall, dark, and handsome. But he might not be tall, dark, and handsome. He might be short, bald, and lovable. Amen. I'm telling you, you got to tell him what you want. Then he said, we don't get some time because we ask from wrong motives. And remember, my dear brothers and sisters, God looks upon our hearts. This is why David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Jeremiah said, the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jesus said, the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. So, Lord, help me to ask from right motives. And then he said that you may consume it upon you. And here's the final idea this morning, my dear brothers and sisters. I want to talk about you can't have peace without the Prince of Peace. We're living in a troubled world. People are anxious. You find yourself sometimes depressed and unhappy, and you don't have the joy and the happiness in your life that you should have. You know, everybody want to be happy. And sometimes, as Brother Wyatt pointed out, people are looking for the right thing in the wrong place. You won't find happiness and fulfillment in the world, but you will find it in Christ. Amen. And so you can't have peace, and you won't be able to get along with other people. You won't stop being a difficult person. Amen. And some folks can just be downright difficult. Like Brother Earl said, you got to know how to say okay. Come on, y'all. Like Kenny Rogers said, you got to know when to hold them and know when to. Oh, somebody, come on, talk to me. Because some folks don't know when to hold them and when to fold them. Is that all right? Is that all right, church? Are y'all feeling this? Amen. And so, you can't have peace, real peace. And God knows I need peace of mind. How many need peace of mind this morning? You don't want to be like Paul Lon Dunbar, a cross of bread and a corner to sleep in. minute to smile and an hour to weep in, a pain of joy to a peck of trouble, never to laugh and the moans come double. You don't want to be like Arthur Schopenhauer West. He was a pessimist. He said life is an endless pain with a painful end. You don't want to be like Shakespeare, who said that life is a tale told by an idiot full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. You don't even want to be like King Solomon, who said, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. I need to live with some hope. And I can't have peace without the Prince of Peace. Listen to the prophet Isaiah. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. They shall call his name Wonderful. Isn't that a name? Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. A lot of folks want peace. We sung this morning, Brother Wyatt, we sung this morning on Christ. The solid, come on, say it, y'all. Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground, sinking sand. Church, I believe that. I believe that Christ is the solid rock. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Amen. You can't have peace in your life. We won't have peace in this world, and you won't have peace in your soul until you let in the Prince of Peace. You're going to always be frustrated, angry, upset. Amen. And because you upset, somebody said good morning. What's so good about it? Hello? Is that right? The Bible says we can't get along. Some people can't get along. It ain't you. It's what's going on in them. Amen. And the reason why I'm snapping and cutting folks off, amen, is because I got inner issues within me. I see Wes get a new car, now I'm mad. How he get that new car? Ain't none of your business how he got it. Amen. And you get a promotion. I'm upset. I compliment Sister Carolyn. You feel like I just injured you. Come on, y'all. Amen. Because I've got issues. And that's why I have so much trouble. That's why the Republicans don't like the Democrats and the Democrats don't like the Republicans. That's why Donald Trump don't have inner peace. And I don't think Hillary does either. I ain't trying to tell y'all who to vote for. But Bernie is still out there. She know what I'm talking about. Is that all right? I'm saying we won't have peace until we let in the Prince of Peace. And he can say to your soul this morning, peace, be still. Amen. He can take all of the disconnected aspects of reality and weave them into an harmonious whole. Amen. The Lord can calm me down. Some people trying to learn how to relax this morning, Yvonne. They're trying to learn how to keep the blood pressure down. Amen. But I'm telling you, you can't have peace until you let in the Prince. Until he's sitting at the negotiating table. He says in John 14:27, my peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth. Let not your heart be troubled. And I'm telling you, we got so much trouble, even in the kingdom of God, because folks got trouble on the inside. Amen? But Jesus Christ can come into your internal and psychological world and say to you, if you just hear his voice, he's still saying to you this morning, as I say good morning, he's still saying this morning to you, if folks are frustrating you on your job, you're in a marriage, you got wall-to-wall hell instead of wall-to-wall carpet. Hello, y'all. You got health issues. Amen. I'm saying there's a man that can say to your soul, peace be still. There's a man, if you let him in, can make you love your enemy. Lord, have mercy. There's a man, if you let him in, can help you to pray for your enemy. There's a man, if you let him in, he'll have you doing good to people that hate you. He'll have you praying for people that despitefully use you. There's a man that'll make your enemies even be at peace with you because he is the Prince of Peace. And all he's simply saying to you this morning, come unto me. All ye that, maybe you're putting up a good front this morning. Maybe somebody asking you how you're doing, you say, I'm all right, but your world is, you feel like your world is falling apart. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor, hurting, all the hurting people. All the hurting people. What he said, come unto me, all the disturbed people, come unto me. All the people in trouble, come unto me. And I, from all them, the conflicting desires within you, I give you rest from that. He says, take my yoke. Hook up with me. Take my yoke upon you. And learn of me. Learn from me. You learn that I'm meek and I'm lowly in heart. You'll find rest unto your soul. How many need rest this morning? You'll find rest unto your soul because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so he says to us, as I say good morning to you, if you obey my commands, you'll get results. If you do what I ask you to do, you will get better. Amen? And you won't have to be a part of this. Some people can't go home because there's so much turmoil. Some people hate to go to work because there's so much turmoil. And some people hate to go to church because there's so much turmoil. Why can't we? As Rodney King said, why can't we? I'll tell you why we can't. Two reasons why we can't. We can't get along because of conflicting desire within us, and we can't get along because we haven't let in. We hadn't let in. We hadn't let in the Prince of Peace. And I'll tell you, when you let him in, he can take a load off your shoulders. When you let him in, you can say, glory, hallelujah. Since I laid my burden down, I feel so much better. Since I laid my burden down. Is that all right? Then he said, burden down, Lord. Burden down. Since I laid my burden down. Is that all right? Because he's a burden bearer. He's a heavy load sharer. Is that all right? And I'm glad he's still speaking across the centuries. And he's still saying, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He still said, without me, you can't do nothing. Is that all right? Without me, you can't even get out of your chair. Without me, you can't even sit down and eat your dinner. Without me, you can't have a good night's sleep. Is that all right? Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Is that all right? So if you come to him, can't nobody sparks do me like Jesus. Is that all right? He can turn my burdens into blessings. He can turn all of my pain into power. Is that all right? He can turn my temptation into triumph. He can turn my sorrow into sunshine. Is that all right? He can turn a setback into a comeback. Is that all right? He can turn trouble in my way to sweet hour prayer. Is that all right? Can't nobody do me like Jesus. So I need to put my hand in the hand of the man that stilled the waters. I need to put my hand in the hand of the man that calmed the sea. Is that all right? And if he can calm the sea, he can calm me. You knew where I was going. If he can calm the sea, church. If he can set to the sea, hush. Hush. Hush, anxiety. Hush, money problems. Hush, relational problems. Hush, health problems. Peace. Peace. Come on, say it. Peace. Be still. That's the message this morning. For why can't we? And we can get along. Amen. I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. All of them don't love me. But that don't mean I don't have to love them. I don't mean I'm not going to love them, rather. Can you say amen to that? Can you love folks who don't love you? Well, if Jesus helped, you can. I ain't saying it's easy, but you can love people. And that makes you the bigger man. That makes you the bigger woman. That makes you the bigger boy. That makes you the bigger girl. Is that all right? And I'm telling you, church, you ain't seen nothing yet. The best is yet to come. Just put your hand. Amen. Because you got to give people hope. That's one thing Brother Harris talked about. You got to give people hope. That's right. You don't bring folks to church and beat them down and beat them up like they did Rodney King. You lift them up. And tell them there's a bright side somewhere. If you're here this morning and you can respond to the Savior's call, he's saying to you, come unto me. If you got an issue this morning, he's saying, come on to me and let me help you. If you're not a child of God, he said, come on, let me help you by believing that I died for you, by repenting of your sin, by confessing my name, and by being immersed or baptized in water. You come on to me. I'll help you this morning. I'll help you to get along with yourself. I'll help you where you can stop saying, I don't like myself. I'll help you where you don't want to be nobody else. You satisfied being you. Come on, y'all. Amen. You're a child of God this morning and you haven't been walking in that narrow way. I got some good news for you. He said, just come on. Repent, confess, and pray, and I'll bring you back where you need to be. And I promise you, Jesus said, I promise you everything going to be all right. Can anybody say that? Say it, I promise you. Say it with me. I promise you everything going to be all right. Say it again. I promise you everything going to be all right. Stand on your feet, my beloved. There's a bright side somewhere. Oh, there's a bright side somewhere. And don't you stop until you find it. There's somewhere.